Hey guys, this is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. All right, guys, so this one is a special episode. We have our good friend, Jerome Rush.
Yes.
Jerome,
for having me.
How are you doing today?
Rush?
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Are you serious?
For real?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, cool. Jerome, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing really good.
Good. Thanks for having us. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us on today, Jerome.
But anyway, Jerome's a coworker of us, of ours at Back at Strap Tank, pre-COVID, right?
Pre-COVID, yep.
And Jerome still is bartending, working to be a bartender.
Yes.
And he's a server at Strap Tank.
Yes.
Jerome does, we brought Jerome on because Jerome likes a good amber. He likes a good lager. He does not like stouts and porters,
we have a lot of today.
And we have a plethora of beers today. Wyatt and I heard that you didn't like stouts and porters, and we said, no, we are going to help sway your opinion. Hopefully, our goal today is to open your palate to stouts and porters. If Wyatt and I cannot get you to like at least one of these stouts and porters today, I feel like we failed. However, I believe, in my opinion, and the thing with Wyatt's opinion as well, we're going to get you to like stout and or porter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Or at least understand them so you know like what you're tasting.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, if you don't like it or do like it, don't tell me why you like it or why you don't like it. Just tell us what you're tasting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then see if we can break it down. Yeah. Just so if you like the stout or you like the porter, tell us why you don't like it. So like we can move forward with different beers. We have higher percentage. We have Imperials here. Mm-hmm. We have oatmeal stouts. We have a chocolate stout. We have porters. So we have a wide range of crushable beers and sipping beers.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I'm excited.
Biggest thing is what you're tasting. Like we want to know.
Flavors.
Yeah.
All that
and
stuff.
Like if you like coffee.
Yeah.
You like black coffee?
Black coffee's all, yeah.
Cool. So I think this is going to be an easy step. I think Guinness, I assume you've had Guinness?
I've had Guinness before, yeah. I've tasted most stouts. It's just, we were talking about it earlier. To me, it's a beer I can't crush, like you said.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't crush it. I can't have more than one. It's just one of those things that just gets gross after a while to me.
I gotcha. So I think, jumping ahead here, I think that the Guinness and I think this brown ale might be his favorite ones, probably the coconut one as well.
I think the coconut will have a different flavor to it.
Yeah.
It will add that flavorness to it, but yeah. I also think brown ale will be a great choice for you.
But we're starting off with an amber from Kitos.
I like Kitos. I like ambers.
Yeah. So we got the amber ale from Kitos. Get the Kitos over there in...
I think it has a seal on it.
Get it in Salt Lake. But it's a great one. Have you had this one yet, Jerome?
Yes, I have. I'm a fan of Kitos Brewing.
You've had this amber?
Yes, I have.
Well, let's try it again, my friend.
Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
Oh, clink. Clinkity. Yeah, good to see you guys, by
Plinky,
the way.
Clinky, drinky.
You too, dude.
It's got a great, great caramel color to it.
It really does.
Oh, it's good. Great aroma.
Mm-hmm. Smells great. Smells that, you have that caramel off the nose, too.
Mm-hmm.
Balanced, crushable.
This is definitely crushable, yeah.
Yeah. Maltiness.
Yeah.
It's like, almost like a caramel malt. I would say more like a little, like, toasty, and then... Just like
I'll
that
say roasty,
hop
yeah.
bitterness mm-hmm. right there. Yeah.
But this one, great example of an amber. Mm-hmm. And for you, Jerome, crushability skill?
I crushed this one.
So
like
10.
10 for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Ambers are my favorite. I love amber lagers. Yeah.
This reminds me of like toast. And like something like bitter-ish on there. Like marmalade almost. But like not the sweetness of marmalade. Just that like orange peel kind of bitterness.
I got you, yeah. So when you said toast, I'm like, yeah, it's toast.
Yeah.
You know, it has something to it.
Yeah. It's almost breakfasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's early in the morning. It's another morning. Saturday morning. We're drinking beers.
Early
again.
In the morning.
Yeah, it's for some of us. So we're going to move on from the amber. I say we go to brown ale. What do you think? Why?
We could. We have this steam beer here. And you've never tried a steam beer.
I've never had
a
steam
beer.
Beer
is.
Jerome
no
doesn't
idea.
Even know what a steam beer is. I think this is a great
I've
opportunity.
I've never heard of a steam beer. I'm sorry.
So
David will look it up.
So for those who don't know, tell us what you know about steam beers.
So steam beers, also known as the California Common, are beers that are fermented with a lager yeast at ale temperature. All the steam beers I've had have been a little bit more on like the amber ale or like red ale kind of side, but that steam beer is super interesting. It makes it crisp, but it's also kind of smooth. It's really like interesting, fun beer. I've only had a couple of them, and I've never had this one. And I've been wanting to try this one for a while, but I haven't been able to find it. This is the Anchor Steam Beer, which is, like, super famous. Like, it's probably the most famous steam beer.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, and it's one of the top beers, steam beers out there, period.
Yeah, yeah. No, super popular. I've heard it's great. It's from San Francisco, and we've been on our local thing lately, but I've heard great things about Anchor, and so I thought we might branch out a little bit today.
Is there a brewery in Utah that does a steam beer?
No. You guys know? Not to our knowledge.
Trap Tank used to.
Really?
Yeah, and the guy who brews at Saltfire used to brew the steam beer.
The dude used to work at Trap Tank.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he used to brew the steam beer. It was called the Juno Red, and it was a combination of, like, an Irish red ale and a steam beer, California really Common. Good. Yeah, it was super good. It was one of my favorites that he had. And in fact,
put on nitro?
He did put it on nitro for a little bit. And I didn't like it until he put it on nitro. And when he put it on nitro, I was like, holy shit, this is my favorite beer.
And why is that, though? Why putting it on nitro didn't make a difference to you?
So he put it on nitro after I had been, like, into the craft beer world for a few months. And so I was starting to get, like, a flavor for stuff. And nitro, I feel like because it has less carbonation, kind of tones down some of those flavors. And before, when I'd had it, it had been not super, but it had been, like, pretty bitter. And, like, I just didn't know how to appreciate it yet. When it came on nitro, it was toned back. And I tried it. I was like, this is super good. And it brought out a lot of the caramel flavor that was in the malt.
Oh, beautiful.
And kind of toned back some of the hops, I think. This is a long time ago. And then once it came back onto the regular tap, I was like, it's even better. Because, like, now I could appreciate it. Also, it could be because he never brewed the same beer twice in a row, whether on purpose or accident, I don't know. But it was pretty rare that you would have, like, two beers, even like the California Common. It was called the Juno Red. It was pretty rare that one batch would taste like the next batch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know if that was just the system that he was working with or what it was, but.
Interesting.
Yeah. He had one called the East Side Ride, which is, like, one of the most popular beers in Utah County. It was a super good amber. It was a spiced amber. Had honey, lemongrass, and ginger. Super good beer. Never tasted the same way twice. Never once. And I always use the same stuff. I don't know what it was. Couldn't recreate it, though.
Well, let's give this a go, huh?
Absolutely.
You want me to go?
Please. So we're going to try this steam beer from, it was Anchor, correct?
Yeah.
Anchor and Brewing. So basically, like Wyatt said, it's fermenting lager yeast at warmer ale yeast fermenting temperatures. That's what's going to give it that different body. It's going to have aggressive hoppiness, and it's supposed to have good carbonation with it as well.
Yeah.
You're looking at it. It's got that caramel color to it.
You know, it almost looks like a whiskey to me.
Kind of, yeah.
Whoa. It smells like almost skunky.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Really hoppy. Weird. Almost skunky. It reminds me of Corona a lot.
Yeah, it has, like, that funky Corona taste to it. Or not taste, but smell.
I think it could be, maybe it was mishandled, and those hops have degraded. Because he said it was an intense hoppiness, but I think those hops may have degraded a little bit.
Let's give her a try.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So.
A lot of degraded hop. I think it's tasty, but.
It is tasty. I think if this one was more fresh. But, Jerome, you see how that one kind of has a funky bite to it?
Yeah.
That right there is an old beer.
Is that what you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. So what I'm telling you is when Wyatt and I are pushing on getting fresh beer. So that's why if you go to grocery stores, if you go to liquor stores especially, beer is going to be sitting there for quite some time. I mean,
especially with what's happening now.
Especially right now. But if you think about it, they get packaged or processed and then they get sent out.
Right.
And that is a whole, exactly. One time it gets to a Smith's or a Walmart or, you know, in this case, in Harmon's, how long did it sit on the shelf until Wyatt and I purchased this?
Right.
And so, when you get beer, you got to go to the breweries and get it fresh, in our opinions. Like,
right.
And not every beer needs to be served cold. You know, temperature does change beer when you get, different beers need to be treated differently. But this one right here, you can definitely taste that the hops kind of gave it like a little, it's just disintegrated is a great way to put it.
Yeah. It's degraded. Like,
yeah,
they kind of fall apart.
We're kind of going back a little bit with what you said. So I'm a big fan of cask beers. I know that those are served warm. What are your guys' opinions on that?
On the beer itself?
Like beers that served, because you said beer should be always served cold.
Not all beers should be served cold. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like cask beers are a great example of beers that should be served warm.
Right.
And so far you've told me you like black coffee, crushable beer, and cask beers, which is all descriptors of Irish stout or dry stout.
How can we not put a Guinness
also,
in front
also
of
ambers,
you?
Though, because I know a lot of cask beers are like Irish reds are in cask a lot. I'm a big fan of ambers, like and mild. I should, like what you said, I should like stouts.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, I just don't.
Have you had the mild from Fisher Brewing?
Probably. I live like 2 minutes from Fisher. I go there for lunch like two or three times a week.
That's cool.
I'm a big fan of all the breweries down there. TF Brewing, I saw you guys had something from there too.
Yeah.
We
have great breweries.
Too, right?
TF's been about a month now. Opened?
Like legit just open. I think they're like pretty fresh, newly.
Oh, yeah, 2018 is when they,
18,
end of 2018, if I believe, they open.
Almost 2 years? Mm-hmm. Just over 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, but Kevin Templin is, like, I think he's one of the best traditional brewers in Utah.
He's the brewer at TF?
Yeah, he's the brewmaster. Like, he's the
brewmaster.
The brewmaster. We were talking last week about best brewmasters in Utah,
mm-hmm.
and we think Templin, I think him and the guys at Fisher, they do it the right way.
Right.
And then we love our Sean Smith as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, he's no longer in the beer world.
Right.
Unfortunately. He's going to brew at home. He's still going to help us out, and he'll come on and let us know if we're talking out of our asses or if we're on the right page. But it broke our heart last week when he announced that he's no longer going to be brewing beer because his craft wasn't being appreciated and by the general public. It's not, and he was making damn good beer. I think he made the best Helles beer.
That's my favorite beer. It's really good.
That's smoked.
I think lagers in general, like he made the best, like traditional style lagers.
Yeah.
Easily.
But he was so underappreciated. And
the Schwartz beer.
I think being in Utah County did not help him.
It did not help his case at all.
It's hard for sure.
And he didn't have something or someone to back him up. And that's just bad. Because in Salt Lake, you have every brewer is like, pitching for every other brewer up there.
Yep.
You know, and that's what I love about Utah, especially Salt Lake County, is I feel it's more friendly. It's more, when you want to come to Salt Lake, because everyone's like, I would love to start a business in Salt Lake because everyone feels it's a community.
It's in a community, exactly.
But Utah County is kind of like this redheaded stepchild that's kind of, no offense to redheads, but, our friend Chandler has a redhead, I know he's listening, but no offense to redheads, but, Utah County is just kind of pushed to the side I don't know what it is with Utah County. I don't know if, us as a community, we're not inviting or we're just not there yet. I don't know, but it's only over the point of the mountain. Mm-hmm. It's a couple miles.
It's really not that far.
That different.
Yeah. County, yeah. So much different.
I think it's just like the culture here right now is it's making a shift.
It is.
It's moving
it
there, but it's a slow change.
But
and I think everyone.
It's literally miles, minutes away, and it's that different already. Still, to this day, it's weird to me. Anyway, that's a tangent. We'll get off on that one.
You said you like browns.
I mean, I'm not a. Yeah, I like browns.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Have you had this one?
No, I have not had that one, no. I haven't had a lot of Uinta beer, to be honest. I haven't.
Really?
No.
So,
I mean, I've only been in Utah for just about 3 years.
We opened this one with Chandler, our more dear friend Chandler. We did a brown ale episode.
The redheaded Chandler?
The same guy.
Oh, same guy,
Two shout-outs in one episode, Chandler, so suck it. But he brought this one for us to try, because we like it. It's in our opinion, we all decided that it was probably one of the best camping beers.
This one was?
Yes.
See, that's how I feel about the Helles. I feel the Helles is like a really good camping beer.
Yeah.
I love that beer.
I think it's a good Traeger beer, as in smoked meat beer. You know what I mean? But Jerome,
that's a good beer to be manly with. It needs to be in a can, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know what I want to see? I want to see beer in a can. Like you get like cans of food at the store and they don't have like the top. Like I want to see beer in a can like that so that I can bust open like an actual can opener and like, you know what I'm saying? Like I want to.
Okay.
It just seems like it would be a fucking manly thing to do.
Well, right. Keto's have the rip away tops.
I think that's cool.
Badass.
Yeah, that is cool.
The whole
like
top
that.
Is open. Yeah. Yep. I like that.
That was cool. I want to see like.
I got you.
Like fucking a can of beans opener. Kind of thing, but like
a can of beans. Campbell soup kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you. So. Jerome, this brown ale, you haven't tried it from Uinta, the Bristol Cone.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a go ahead and drink it first and tell us what you think.
Mm. Dude, that's good beer.
That is good. The first thing I'm tasting like a nutty, oaky kind of.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nutty for
that
sure.
That is good. I'm not a big fan of browns, but. I like browns.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite beer.
I gotcha.
I wouldn't buy it myself, but if I was like candidate, I would drink it.
Gotcha.
Good. Yeah.
One of my favorite things about this is it has a lot of like that malty, you said nutty, I get like some bready kind of flavors, but it has enough hop to balance that, which is something I really like about the American style browns, is they usually have enough hop to balance the malt. Like, I don't want too much malt. I like some hop to balance it. Not too much hop, but like, it's one of my favorite things about, I just like balanced beers, and I feel like Americans do a pretty good job until you get into like IPAs or some of their imperial stouts, but like most of their beers are pretty well balanced. Like, they're not afraid of using hops to balance malt.
And I think the Bristol Cone is a good example of Utah's brown ale. But again, I think great camping beer.
Yes.
This one, yeah, I mean, I've always been impressed with this one. I was not a fan of crushability-wise. To me, this isn't...
No, this is not a crush.
For me, beer. But for Wyatt, if I do remember, you and Chandler said you guys can crush this one pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. The more I drink it, too, the more I'm like, yeah, I could crush the shit out of it.
I think the setting for me...
Like, you could you comfortably say that you could, like, shotgun this beer. Like, it came in a can and you could, like, get shotgun it, like, crush it. That's what
it's not crushable.
Okay.
That's like 9 to 10 crushable. I would say this is, like, 7 to 8.
Gotcha.
Like, I could sit around a campfire with a six-pack of these and a friend. I got to have someone. I'm not going to drink fucking six of these by myself.
Right.
But, like, I could drink three of these around a campfire in a night. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your opinion about the brown ale?
I think it's good. Like, crushability-wise, like, you probably said 6, 7, hard 8. But I think it's good. I like it.
Good.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Wyatt, next one.
Next one. So next we've got the Schwartz beer from Red Rock. I haven't tried this one either. I got a bunch of beers that I haven't tried yet.
I like it.
Yeah.
Brown ale?
No. Schwartz beer.
Ooh, hold it up. Oh, my God. I didn't see you bring that one.
Yeah, Black Lager.
Black Lager.
German style Black Lager. I'm a little nervous to try this.
I am too.
I don't know why.
All right, guys. So we... forgot to mention Jerome. Jerome, who's Jerome? We asked this question to our guests. Who is Jerome? Tell us a little about yourself. Tell the world who you are.
Originally from Minnesota.
What the fuck is in Minnesota?
Lakes and Minnesotans, basically. It's actually a nice place. I enjoy Minnesota.
I heard there's like a really big blue cow that lives there.
What's the name of that cow? I don't know, man.
Yeah. I hear there's Canadians in...
No,
Minnesota.
There's no Canadians in Minnesota.
I think you're thinking of Canada.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
But yeah, originally from Minnesota, moved here just over 3 years ago.
Oh, beautiful.
I was working at a school for a little bit, teaching math, things like that. And then I got into I've been in restaurants my whole life, basically, ever since like high school, college. But yeah, glad I moved here. Been a good slow 3 years, really slow 3 years.
Yeah.
But it's probably like the best 3 years of my life I've been out here in Utah.
Great, dude. We're glad we met you.
And I'm glad I met you guys, too.
We met you about a year ago, almost.
Just about, yeah. What was it, like a year in like June, maybe?
Yeah, so it's nice to have Wyatt and I appreciate you and we love you. That's why you're on here. And
appreciate having me.
Even with your Minnesotan accent, don't you know?
I know. I really hope it doesn't come out too much.
About time. Your books is...
more beers, I mean, it'll come out full force.
But we like having you on, dude. Yeah, appreciate it. And you have... Wyatt, no offense, but you have the best facial hair skill growing ever.
Oh, yeah, you're videotaping this too, aren't you? Yeah, yeah,
yeah, so absolutely.
Those of you can see it, I did it just for these guys because they always love it when I do it this way.
Awesome chops going on. Mad chops.
Yeah. Pretty sweet.
It's pretty good. Because Wyatt's got the rugged look.
He's
down.
He's got the rugged
hands
look down,
down
for sure. Long, luscious hair too. I love it, man.
But your style is always my favorite, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming again, Jerome. Yeah. But so Wyatt and I are going to take you on a more adventure right now.
Yeah.
Wyatt's going to pour us something from Red Rock.
So the only thing I've ever had from Red Rock is the Elefino.
Yeah.
The Elefino Double IPA.
Thank you. Yeah. That beer, I can't do much of that. That's like an uncrushable beer by far.
So that one's a 10.2%, I believe. That's a high percentage. Yeah. That's a big time beer.
Yeah.
And Wyatt, I don't know if you know this, Jerome, but Wyatt isn't a huge fan of higher point ABV.
Okay.
It just, and I, to some degree, I agree with Wyatt just because higher alcohol content doesn't necessarily mean better beer.
I totally agree.
And so when you see Imperials or those doubles, it gets up there.
Yeah.
And I think when it gets past like 5.5% ABV, it's just kind of, it's a little too much sometimes.
Okay.
It's got to have some type of well balance inside the beer or else that alcohol will pop and you get that. In my opinion, no one likes alcohol. Alcohol itself is disgusting.
Yes.
That's why it's masked in these beautiful, flavors and notes, whatever. And that's why if you can taste the alcohol, most people are off-putted by that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean...
tastes gross.
Yeah.
Flat out. But this one, we showed this one to Bristol, Dr. B, when she came on. And this is the one beer she liked. It's called the Bobcat Brown Ale from Red Rock. And this one is probably a great, another great staple of a brown ale.
Mm-hmm. It looks pretty. It's a very pretty looking beer.
Yeah. This one's super good.
So going to ABV content, I know we're talking about stouts. What do you guys think of the barrel aged stout from Strap? You guys like that at all?
I do.
You do?
I love it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one, if I believe, is 9.6.
Something like that. It's just under 10, yeah.
That one, the barrel aged stout, if I believe correctly, they used Alpine Distillery barrels from Alpine in Salt in Park City.
Mm-hmm.
Sean put it in there, aged it for 6 months, I believe, in barrels, and then bottled them. I like it because it's a thicker stout. The viscosity of it is thicker. And it also has a beautiful, beautiful flavor to it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not a fan of like beers that I feel like I'm chewing a little bit.
Yeah,
like they're too thick, too dark. I guess I don't know. That's maybe why I steer clear of stouts, is because that's kind of what's in my mind. That all stouts are like that. All stouts are like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I know that they're not. But that's just like what's in my mind.
Mm, okay.
Like I'm just gonna be chewing.
Yeah.
On beer.
Yeah. You don't want to be chewing on beer. I feel that.
Yeah. So let's see if we can get you good beers that you don't chew on.
Right. Yeah.
But this brown ale. Let's see what you think, Jerome.
Yeah.
I like this one a lot. I've liked all the beers. I for the most part, I like the majority of the beers. There's like three here that I'm not a huge fan of, but
yeah, this is good. This is a brown ale.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jerome?
Yeah, that's tasty. I'm a big fan of brown ales. Like, not a big fan. I love red ales more, but brown ales, I don't know. There's just that like toasty, nutty, oaky kind of feel to them. It's good. It's a good sipping beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, to me, not crushable.
Mm-mm.
Higher ABV, not crushable. But like we were talking to Bristol, Bristol would sit back and watch a movie and would sip on this beer.
Yeah. Sip on a beer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nightcap almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect example of what this is, a nightcap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is a beer that would go really well with like stew. Like a beef stew.
Like beef stew. Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant like the person stew. Like what?
So I say we steer away from no more brown ales and lagers. I say we go into stout world.
Yeah, let's get some stouts going.
Because we
change my mind.
Yeah, so I want to make sure that we get Jerome restarted on stouts. I feel like we can get you to like a stout. I would like to show eventually. We have a Guinness, which I believe Guinness is one of the most crushable stouts out there.
I think one of the most crushable beers.
Yeah,
really.
So,
oh yeah.
This just because the stout, Jerome, doesn't mean it. Like you said, you think stouts aren't really crushable.
I just have like this in my mind. I don't think stouts are crushable. I think they're always chewable. Like you chew on them. Like dark, thick beers is what I think.
And you know that's a general assumption with the stouts. Right. But the Guinness, the Drought Guinness is most famous stout of all time. Like it's out there. I mean, well-known, renowned, everyone knows about it. I think White and I came to the conclusion that we think Guinness is probably, 9 crushability?
Oh, at least.
Really?
Yeah, one of the most crushable beers for sure.
Dark as hell. You can see that.
Can't even see through it. That's a dark beer.
But you think, looking at it, like, oh shit, I can't crush this.
No.
Start just by looking at the head. Look at how, like, creamy and, like, the nice layer it makes there.
That's what I like about Stars. It does look creamy, and it makes it looks very drinkable. But to me, I just had bad experience with stouts before in the past.
What was that bad experience?
Just college experiences. Like, I worked at a brewery in college, too, and, like, it was, like, a very heavy stout kind of beer. And, like, I was, like, 21, 22, like, just started drinking legally. And I crushed one, not knowing what a stout was, and it was a bad night, to say the least. Yeah.
It's a rough way to start, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that was 10 years ago, and I just haven't gone back to them.
Especially if you're drinking at a craft brewery where like for a long time, craft breweries have been known for making like kind of almost like harder to drink beers.
Mm-hmm.
At least in like the beer, like all the people who are drinking like Bud Light and stuff are like, oh,
that's
pretty tough to drink. Like it's tough to stout. You know, like they don't like it because it takes more like effort to drink. There's more flavor there.
Yes.
And stouts for a long time, they have that reputation already of being heavy, and a lot of them can be heavy, but like, something like the Irish stout. So like, let's go into the history of stout real fast. Just a quick overview, right?
Lay it on me.
Stouts evolved from porters. Porters evolved from brown ales. Stouts were basically just a stronger porter. And so typically the difference between a stout and a porter was they would just use less water in the stout. So it was going to be heavier. It was going to be thicker. And then, it evolved. And then you've got stout and porter kind of became separate things. They're not hugely different right now, even still. But stouts were usually going to be heavier. And then you've got three levels of stouts. You had the 1X, 2X, and 3X. They would mark them on the barrels that way. So like the 1X kind of evolved into the Irish dry stout. So it's like your lightest version of a stout.
Is that what you've this got, would be?
That's what this is, okay. The Irish dry or Irish stout or a dry stout. The Guinness, you can see the next one down is the Guinness foreign stout. That's yep. the 2X. And then something like an imperial stout. I think we have the old Rasputin mm-hmm. over there, just past yep. the can. That oh, would geez. Be like your 3X. And that's the kind they would ship to Imperial Russia. And that's what hell got its name, that's the Imperial name. Stout. Okay. They would Makes add sense. More alcohol to let it.
So by the time it made it. The travel, yeah. alcohol would dissipate a little bit. So right. when it yeah. got there, it still had good alcohol content. But in reality, it just had more alcohol content.
Right. Yeah.
Right. What? So I'm sorry, but maybe you said this already. I might have missed it. But what is the? Why do they label them 1X, 2X, 3X?
It's by strength.
Strength. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one is going to be lightest. Like the alcohol range for a dry stout or an Irish stout is usually 3.5 to 4.5%. Okay. So it's going to be lower ABV. Usually they have a super light body, meaning like it's not going to feel heavy. It's not supposed to feel heavy. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be crushable. It's supposed to be drinkable. The reason it's so dark is just because they use roasted unmalted barley. So basically they take, like, do you know what malting is?
I mean, no, I'm yeah. not an expert on it, no.
We haven't really gone over malting
yet.
But basically it's where you take like your grains that you're going to use, like a barley, mm-hmm. and you add moisture to it and it starts to sprout. And then you add it to a kiln and you roast it or, you know, basically cook it to stop that sprouting from happening. And that's what you use. You'll like roll that and that's what you use to make your beer, right? So you can extract sugars from it. You get a little bit different flavor with that malt. In the Guinness, because of like regulations in England in the 1800s, they would use roasted unmalted barley because there was a certain tax on malt that didn't happen if you didn't use like malted grains. Mm-hmm. So they stopped using malted grains and started using more roasted unmalted barley, which gives it like dark chocolate, black coffee flavor, and a very, very creamy mouthfeel. So it should be really light, but kind of creamy. And then you'll have a lot of dark chocolate, black coffee kind of flavor.
Are most stouts going to be the dark, creamy, chocolatey coffee flavor beer?
It depends. So I mean, stout is a huge, if you just say stout, that ranges beers anywhere from like fucking 2-3% ABV to 12% ABV. You can have beers that are gonna be super light bodied, beers that are super, you know, heavy and thick.
I didn't know the range was that.
Yeah, it's
like
huge.
Anytime I hear stout, I think yeah. of like 10% heavy, uh-huh. thick beer.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
And so like the most classic of all classic stouts. The Guinness.
Yeah.
The Guinness
Everyone
draw,
knows the Guinness.
Right? Yeah. Irish stout, dry stout. I think usually it's like, 4.5% ABV or something
yeah,
like
4.
That.
4.2, I believe.
Yeah, 4.2.
Do they put the X's on the bottles too? The 1X, 2X?
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah. That's how, instead of being, you know, yeah, this has this some ABV, blah, 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 like all those technical terms we have now, Imperial, right. blah, 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 blah. No, they just marked them, just doop, and just on their way kind of thing.
They should keep doing that because yes. that would make it so much easier.
Right. And that's a common misconception is like Wyatt was saying, people don't know the difference between, because ABV changes beer.
Yeah.
Alcohol content legit will change. So the roasty and the malt characteristics sometimes can be hidden by an overpowering alcohol content. But then Imperial Stouts is where there's a high alcohol content, but the malt, it brings out the character as well.
Yeah.
So right. and it does a great job of balancing.
To hide that alcohol flavor, usually you need more sweetness and more sweetness. Like you measure what the alcohol percentage of in beer is by gravity. So like essentially how thick or heavy the beer is. So it's literally heavy. You use a thing called a hydrometer, which has like some pellets in the bottom that are like steel or whatever. And it depending on how far it sinks into the beer, like will show you how heavy the beer is. Gosh, right. Yeah. So if it's, the beer is super heavy, it won't sink
as
far.
As much. Gotcha.
With the beer super, so like Guinness, it'll sink like almost to the bottom.
Right. Oh, whereas, this one will?
Yeah, because this is a super light body beer.
Gotcha.
It looks dark.
It does. That's why I'm.
That's why I was telling you.
Still, yeah. Literally, just from the type of grain they use, it doesn't have anything to do with the ABV. Doesn't have anything to do like you could have literally non-alcoholic stouts.
Mm-hmm.
Like. They make them. We're working on trying to get some so we can do an episode on them.
A non-alcoholic stout.
Non-alcoholic stout with a light body, super crushable, right?
Jesus.
This beer is super crushable and it has a very light body because it's very low alcohol content, 4.2.
So this is the kind of beer that you could say you could shotgun.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Well, you tell me. You haven't even tried it yet.
Yeah. Well, I know. I've been interested. It's been a great conversation.
I mean, learning stuff. But that's what it is. And we're trying to help you understand. Yeah. And you just told yourself, like, different stouts have, you're kind of off put by different stouts, mm-hmm. because they do have a, when you look at a stout, it's dark and you're like, oh, it's like black coffee. Some people look at black coffee like, I need cream, I need sugar.
That's interesting, because I love black coffee. That's how I drink coffee, is black.
And so that's it's common for stouts for people to say it has chocolatey or roastiness to it, like almost espresso taste. For some of them. Very common characteristics of stouts. So this one, like Wyatt was saying, this one has low gravity, but it's very, very crushable.
It definitely smells creamy.
Yeah.
And that's why Guinness is so famous, is because their draught stout is creamy. It legit is creamy.
Yeah. What else are you smelling there?
Definitely like a coffee with cream almost. I don't know how better to describe it.
I think this beer reminds me of like a cappuccino.
Cappuccino is good. Yeah, it's a great way to kind of describe.
I always drink my coffee black unless I have a cappuccino. Love cappuccinos. Yeah. And like that foamy milk kind of thing reminds me of Guinness.
Oh, wow. That is super smooth and light. That is not that. That's so interesting because it's so dark. You think it would be so heavy, but it is not.
So based on just drinking it alone, Jerome, crushability.
That's definitely that would say that's an 8.
So going back to you, nine. Asking why that question, if you could shotgun it, could you shotgun this beer?
I would be able to, but it would be, prefer it would not be to. A struggle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little darker. Like,
And that's just my personal taste because I can't drink dark beer.
But it leaves for me, and I think for most people, it leaves like you would drink coffee, and your mouth, that whole mouth feel of like, your mouth feels roasty. It feels like got beat up a little bit.
It kind of gave me a boost of energy because I feel like I'm drinking coffee. Yeah.
So that's why Wyatt and I, whenever we bring stouts on, we kind of almost always end on stout just because we call them palate wreckers.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if we tried another beer right now that didn't, like, we went back to the amber, I think you'd get a lot of the roasty characteristics of the stouts. You'd be like, I can't taste. You wouldn't be able to taste the amber as well unless you cleanse your palate a little bit.
Right. Oh, that's a good way to look at it. It is definitely
I want to keep this in the same world. So we brought the Guinness extra stout, the foreign
stout.
That's
this next one here.
So that's the 2X.
Well, that would be considered a 2X.
Yeah. So the one we just drank, the Guinness draught stout, is 1X. Okay. So now Wyatt's going to open the foreign stout, and this one is my favorite Guinness because of the stone fruit that's put in it.
The what?
Stone fruit. Are you familiar with stone fruit?
Not a top.
So stone fruits are anything that like cherries, apricots, and nectarines,
avocado.
Okay.
Stone fruit.
Is that really a stone fruit?
Yeah.
Avocado?
Yeah.
Really?
Stone fruits. So it's the best part about it is it has the same creaminess and it's crushable like the Guinness we just had, but it's going to have a little sweetness to it.
Okay. So what is it, the ABV that gives it the 1X or 2X?
Yes.
Yeah. The X conversation we had is all ABV. Okay. And then for those who are interested, we did a Stouts and Porters episode where we broke down the difference between stouts and porters. If you guys would like to, you know, tune back in, it was like episode 6, 7.
Yeah,
but we broke down the style. Like, what's the difference? A common question as a bartender, Wyatt and I get, is what's the difference between a stout and porter? And so that right there, we broke them down.
Yeah.
And it's just the history of them.
That was great. And I had no idea.
Yeah.
That,
and
that
it's
my mind a little bit.
And it's beautiful. Ever since we did that, you give a different appreciation for porters and stouts. Like, it's just what it is. But
you like that one.
I did like this one.
Oh, this one. I liked the last one. That last one, that was good. It was a smooth beer.
This head on this one, though.
Yeah. It is super smooth. And, like, Guinness is the quintessentially smooth beer because that roasted unmalted barley makes it creamy. It makes it smooth. And then they're just like, ah, fuck it. Let's go all in. Let's make it a drop beer, which means they carbonate it with nitrous oxide as opposed to carbon dioxide, which is cask.
That is also be considered a cask beer. It could be.
If it were in a cask.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But like cask is usually the same way. And like it's put on nitro to simulate cask beer. So cask beer is the original and it's carbonated with CO2, but it's gravity fed and oxygen goes in basically with the beer. So it's going to go bad within a few days. It's going to get cardboard flavor. It's going to become oxygenated. But like it makes it a little bit more flat, but also makes it a little bit more smooth.
Right.
And so that's what that cask beer, like that's the original way beer was served. Drop beer or nitro tap is meant to simulate cask beer.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Guinness is like the most famous cask nitro beer.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, right?
That's awesome. I had no idea. So would, So nitro beer is basically cask beer, but just chilled, cold.
Yeah.
That's how you would kind of describe it.
It's a way of making cask type flavors. Beer, like cask flavors, cask mouthfeel.
Yeah, mouthfeel, yeah.
Without putting it in a cask, because you can't really distribute casks across the world anymore. I mean, you can, but it's just not as efficient as distributing a case of bottles.
Right.
And for those who aren't familiar with nitro, I mean, are you familiar with nitro? Like what we do with nitro? So 70% nitrogen, 30% carbon dioxide, and that's what makes, you pump that into the beer, and that's what makes it automatically almost creamy.
Mm-hmm.
It gives it that like light carbonation and kind of like a light, like it adds to the head.
Yeah, it makes it taste almost flat, but like it, there's a little bit of carbonation, but it's supposed
to
simulate
makes it smoother too.
Yeah,
on nitro,
and that's how cask beers are. They're super smooth. Mm-hmm. Nitro is just meant to imitate that.
Okay,
like it's like, oh, we don't have access to a firkin or a cask, and so
which is expensive as hell.
Yeah,
we're so just that's gonna, why people yeah.
Okay.
It's almost
make it nitro.
It's not necessarily cheating, I don't think, but it's a different way to approach it, I think.
Yeah, just a different way to try to do the same thing.
Okay.
So, foreign stout. So, this one's a double X. So, we just had the Guinness. You were impressed with that one. So, try this one. A little. I think it's 7.6. Let me look at it. 7.5 ABV. So, it's going to be a couple of percentages higher. This one has, like I said, the stone fruit in it. So, let me see if you can pick out the stone fruit in it.
It doesn't have actual
stone
fruit.
It doesn't
have
like a legit stone fruit in it.
It has cherry in it.
Okay, I was going
to
add.
They really do add cherry to it?
They put dark cherries is the flavor.
Black cherries?
This is a dark cherry. Hold on.
Is the flavor or do they?
Let me double check.
Oh, you can definitely get that fruity a little bit.
But
in
you
there.
Got that. It's not like a sweet fruity.
Like right away. Not a sweet fruity at all, no.
But when when someone says stone fruit, that's what stone fruit tastes like.
The color is almost
it's like
the
a
same
red.
It's almost the color of that Bobcat brown ale that we had.
A little bit, yeah. Well, right off the get-go, I could get that fruity cherry. Now that you said cherry, I can definitely taste that little bit of that cherry right off the get-go.
A little NyQuil-y.
NyQuil-y, you think so?
You don't like it? What?
I'm not a fan of this one.
I don't get
like
the nice
syrupy.
Yeah. And that cherry just makes me.
I don't
think.
Get that. I don't get the.
I think I know why it's going with this. This is where my palate. I like imperial stouts. I like the darker and the like. You got. I like the barrel aged stout. This is where why it stops and why it doesn't like higher ABVs. I mean,
gotcha.
Right. So I really like this one. This one I choose over the Guinness.
The 1X that we just did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just because of that sweetness in it.
That is good. I think I would agree with you. I do like the 2X better than the 1X just because of that little bit of sweetness. That
right,
you
but if they don't put the sweetness in it, I think it'd be one of those that you just kind of pucker up and just, oh, it's really a dark roasted coffee. It's just too dark for you. It's just like, ugh.
I feel like it'd be a little bitter too
need,
without that.
Yeah, I need some type of like cream or sugar. Right, it's like coffee. Yeah. If you get something that's like hell of dark, you're like, I just need something to
like
cut
dark
this off.
Coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think the reason why they put that stone fruit in there is because it like well balanced. Like Wyatt and I always mention well balanced. A well balanced beer makes the difference.
Yes.
You can have super bitterness as long as you have it, I think, on the same scale of sweetness. And if you have that balance, it'll make a great beer.
Okay.
And I think Guinness does a great job. I mean, they've been doing this for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
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 See, I feel like the sweetness takes away from the beer in that, like, if it didn't have the sweetness, that cherry makes me think of something tart. And so if it didn't have the sweetness, it would be, like, roasty, but also tart. And so it would be, like, this cool, like, sour stout kind of thing. And I think that would be a lot of fun.
I can see the two. I can see both ways,
but
for sure.
The sweetness, it just makes it, like, sweet and sour sauce. It's like Panda Express. Like, and I'm just not.
Panda Express.
I'm not loving it, man.
Sweet and sour chicken.
That's what that sweetness makes me think. And I didn't, like, put that together, but, like.
That's a great observation. Yeah.
It's like sweet and sour chicken to me.
Gotcha.
I would love it more if it was just sour.
Okay.
You know? Like take away the sweetness and let's just have that fucking sour.
And some people like that. Some people like just.
And like I'm gonna drink dark roast coffee. Like I don't like light roast coffee. It's just not enough there for me. I want fucking dark roast or espresso or like a dark roast cold brew. Like those are my.
Do you like just espresso shots? You could like drink.
Yeah,
those.
I fucking love espresso shots.
Yeah, I can't do espresso shots.
If you cool
I like
them
cappuccino
off,
if I'm feeling fucking fancy. But I'm like.
Pinkies up.
Espresso.
Cappuccinos.
Yeah.
Feeling fancy.
All right, Wyatt, what's the next one you got for us?
This is the beer I'm most excited to try.
Yeah.
Drum,
I'll take that.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Didn't mean to take it from you.
Fuck, it's an oatmeal stout. I love oatmeal stouts. They're one of my favorite styles of beer. My favorite style of stout for sure. And I've had a few things. This is from the Sam Smith Brewery straight over from the UK.
Which make a damn good nut brown ale, by the way.
So tell me a little bit about oatmeal stout. I'm not familiar with oatmeal stouts.
But Guinness used to make an oatmeal stout.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oatmeal stouts were in England in the 1900s. I think like around World War One. They were like all UK residents were recommended a cup of oatmeal stout a day.
Really?
It was nutritious. Yeah. Has iron in it. Yeah, it's good for you. And pregnant women were always recommended to drink a cup or a pint of Guinness.
It was recommended to drink beer
recommended.
While pregnant.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because it improves your iron and there's like nutrients in oatmeal stout.
Interesting. So would this be on a scale like 1X, 2X, 3X? Is that the same kind of thing that we talked about before?
I think this would probably be 1X, but like most of them are like 5% ABV that I've
gotcha.
Found.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's kind of like...
Do all stouts fall on that spectrum of 1X, 2X, 3X?
It's like that was like very traditional.
Okay.
So that was like early 1800s, late 1700s when porter and stout were just kind of becoming a thing. This is like 1900s when like they're established, they're popular. Uh-huh. And this was actually, I think this one came around the same time as the lactose stout, when stouts were looked upon as like the poor man's beer, like the peasant's beer. And
sure.
So they wanted to like improve their drinkability more or less. And that was when they started adding lactose to try to make them sweeter and a little bit higher alcohol content. This one around the same time, I think my memory is a little fuzzy here, partially because of the beer and partially because a long time ago that I read about this. But it's supposed to be like a nutritious, like, drink. Like
it's interesting.
Yeah, because of the protein enzymes that go into it. Like,
okay.
It's a different type of grain. It's true.
And oat adds, like, a creaminess to beers that's really nice.
Yeah, that the first thing I think of when I hear oatmeal.
So, the one we're pouring for you, Sam Smith Oatmeal Stout, is the number one must-drink oatmeal stout in the world.
This one is that we have right here.
Holy fuck,
in
dude.
The world.
Dude, I almost bought a six-pack of these.
And so, the thing about it is, the most familiar in the United States, Firestone Walker does one called the Velvet Merkin. That's number three most you have to drink oatmeal stout.
Velvet Merkin?
Velvet Merkin.
Dude,
yeah.
Fucking velvet's the way
to
drive an oatmeal stout.
So this one right here, I just want you to know, Sam Smith at the UK, like, this is top tier right now.
Yeah.
You're going to put it in your mouth.
They've got a raspberry beer that's really fucking good. Tastes like toast with raspberry jam.
Oh, that sounds good.
The nut brown was okay. I wasn't a huge fan of the nut brown, but I thought it was great to pair with. That one went really fucking well with some fucking beef stew that I had, actually. and they have their chocolate stout, which we may try or may not. I don't know, but it's fucking fantastic too.
What do you guys think? Off the nose, it tastes heavenly. It's like a sweet.
Oh man, that is good.
Sweet
it's
stout.
Way sweeter
Jesus.
Than I expected.
It's sweeter than I thought.
Sweeter than I thought.
Yeah,
but
that is really good.
I don't get hoppiness at all.
I don't get any hops in that. No,
it's got a nice.
It's a little heavy though. Like
it's
this
a little
is
bit. Yeah.
Definitely the heaviest feeling beer that we've had.
It feels
yet.
Like an imperial heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is tasty. I'm not gonna that is number one in the world for a reason. That's really good. That is a good beer.
Fuck. Yeah.
But not crushable.
Not
I
crushable.
Cannot
no.
crush this.
No, no, no. That's definitely like another sipping around the campfire type of beer
Absolutely.
At night, nightcap type beer.
Yeah. That's pretty tasty.
That is tasty.
I'm
Thanks
pleased.
For bringing that one, Wyatt. Appreciate okay. that.
I'm,
yeah.
I'm glad
so this is number one in the world to try
it.
For a stout.
To try.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oatmeal
yeah.
stout.
There's one called Founders, number five. Founder has a breakfast stout I almost brought. And it's kind of the same feel.
Perfect. We have donuts, breakfast
right.
time.
It is what it is. But I like the oatmeal.
Yeah.
I mean, the oats, they put, I you get that. And that's what I like about it, because it has that starchiness to it, in
yeah.
my mind. You taste like, kind of like, you had something. Like, it seems like whole wheat bread, like oatmeal bread.
Yeah. I guess if
you know what
like,
I mean?
Yeah, like oatmeal.
Thank you, yeah.
It's fucking starchy.
Yeah,
yeah like. It's got that same kind of like filling flavor, you know, mm-hmm. like not flavor, but like mouthfeel. Like you eat oatmeal and you're like, fuck yeah. Like,
yeah,
I'm, and like, especially with like steel cut oat.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
like, I don't need to eat for another fucking week. I'm,
yeah.
This is good.
Well, I'm drinking
fucking
this
awesome.
And I'm like, I don't want to drink any more beer because like, I,
yeah.
that's what I get from this beer.
Yeah. It's a good place to stop.
I think. I mean, it is what it is. But it I do want to get Imperial. I want to end on an Imperial. So we got the old Rasputin. This one is also recommended by our brewmaster, Sean Smith and brewer. Derek Hart, they said this is a must try for an Imperial, Russian Imperial Stout. So back at the what we're talking about, double X, single X,
yep.
triple X, this would be considered a triple X.
Well, all right.
And so this one's going to be higher alcohol content, but we want you to try it to know.
Well, this is going
to
be kind of like the chewy kind of Imperial Stout.
What you said, like it's kind of, you don't like to chew on beer. this one you're probably gonna want. Like, you feel like you're gonna want to chew on it.
Okay.
So you're not gonna like this one, but let's. I wanted.
We'll see. I mean, I just want to. Like,
let's go more education. Yeah. That's what this is all about.
Do you want to try the coconut stout before we? Just like for a specialty stout,
we can do that.
Coconut or the lowrider.
I don't. We already did ketos. Do you want to do? So actually, Jerome, you're the guest. Right. So we have here Salt Flats Lowrider Chocolate Milk Stout. So it's basically Yoo-hoo meets a Guinness, and they had a baby.
Oh,
they made that.
It's very
heavy. Really good. This one, the coconut stout from Ketos.
Coconut, chocolatey. It's like same mouthfeel.
Again,
as
Ketos.
Stout.
Ketos
put
can't
me in the middle of this because it sounds like you want to do the Salt Flats and you want to do the Ketos.
Yes.
What it sounds like.
Or if that's you don't want to do either of them, we have another Sam Smith chocolate stout over there. Organic chocolate stout.
You know, no offense, Wyatt, but I've been wanting to try that milk stout for a while. So I think we're going to have to open that one up. Sorry, man.
But so this one, again, this one's, I brag about this one a lot.
You do. That's why
this one's the Salt Flats Lowrider Chocolate Milk Stout. This one is going
to
have a higher alcohol content.
Called Lowrider?
Lowrider. Yeah. That's what they named it. Scott from Salt Flats, he's going to do a barrel-aged version of this, and he's going to let Wyatt and I know when he's doing it. So we're going to go hang out with him and do that. But this one to me is pretty bomb.
Were you guys having some of this too?
Yeah.
Let me pour you one this time.
But Wyatt, thanks for the oatmeal stout. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a good call, Wyatt.
Yeah. So again, the oatmeal stouts, just it's old school tradition, old school brewing. And that's just what it comes down to. I like that. This one again, one we've tried multiple times. This one I love to death. I've showed like majority of my friends. Like I always talk this one up. But before we continue this one, tell us what you think of the Lowrider.
Lowrider. Definitely smell some chocolate, for sure.
Which no cocoa nibs are put in here.
I've had this two times, and one time it was delicious, and one time it tasted like ass nuts.
Ass nuts?
Yeah, like nuts from an asshole.
Oh my god!
Or nuts that have been too close to an asshole. Bad.
So I like this one because I think it's a higher alcohol percentage, but it's easy to drink, and that chocolate. For me, I have a sweet tooth.
I do too. That's why I wanted
it. But this one's like chocolate milk,
dude. Chocolate milk is all I get right now. I could crush this.
Oh.
This is like a 9-10 crushable for me.
Oh my god.
I'm
glad you like it.
Chocolate milk. And
Wyatt,
this tastes like chocolate.
What's this
milk.
Taste like to you right now?
This tastes like chocolate milk right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
It tastes good.
It tastes good. It tastes good.
The problem I have with this beer is
nothing.
I've had it at the liquor store, and when I get it at the liquor store, it's fucking terrible.
Is it go back because it
so
just sits
bad.
On a liquor store?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Gets
and
shitty.
some beers can handle it and some beers can't.
Yeah, and this is one of them that obviously can't then.
We can cut this out later, but like, I don't think that this should be a beer only available at the brewery because it's not good. As soon as it leaves the brewery, it doesn't age well.
Right.
So like, if it's more than a week or two old, it's gonna taste like ass. It's gonna just
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But does that make sense? Where if it stays in it's gonna be a DABC in a warehouse in the sun.
Yeah,
it's not air conditioned in there. It's just fucking. You go. What liquor store have you gone in there? And like this feels nice in here.
Right.
There's not.
There's not a single one.
No. And so what Wyatt's saying is completely true. And guess where I got this from? Salt Flats themselves.
So you actually went to the brewery?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Fresh from the brewery. It's fantastic.
It's way different. And that's why. And that's a proof of what we're saying is where you get the beer can determine how it tastes, period.
I wish you got one from the brewery like we have and then got one from the liquor store and we could have done like a taste test.
Yeah, but I wanted you to be impressed and not have ass nuts.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted.
No one likes ass nuts.
No. Well, but I'm glad you like this one.
This is my favorite so far, the best
way I could put this one is a Guinness meets a Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo for sure.
And when I told the brewmaster Scott that, he looked at me and goes, "Ah." But the best part about it, and it blew my mind when we interviewed him. He goes, "I don't put any chocolate in it, period. There's not a single drop of chocolate."
What gives it that chocolatey chocolate milk Yoo-hoo flavor?
The malt he uses.
Chocolate malt. It's called chocolate malt.
So, but there's no chocolate in it.
No. It's called chocolate malt because it tastes like chocolate.
Yep. But there's no cocoa.
There's no cocoa seeds or anything in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said the first time he did it, he put cocoa nibs in it. And then he's like, it was just a waste of money. Like, I didn't need it. It was overly chocolate. It already had that sweetness to it.
Didn't add anything. He said the flavor didn't change.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh, really? So he put them in, saved money, took them out, tasted the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck you guys. I want to taste a fucking coconut stout.
All right.
Let's open it up. Who cares?
We have Keto's Brewing Coconut Stout. Jerome, would you please pour us one?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
So, the reason I want to drink this now is the Salt Flats stout, lactose, whatever, chocolate milk stout, from the brewery itself, fucking delicious. Incredible beer.
The one we're just doing now.
The one that we were just doing. Yep. From the liquor store, not good.
Yeah,
not a fan at all. Ass nuts.
Yeah.
The Keto's Coconut Stout, I feel like, is the exact opposite.
So, like, it's ass nuts at the brewery, but it's delicious.
Every time I've had it on tap, it's like, it's not good. It does. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't taste good on tap to me. Every time I get it in a can, I'm like, God, fuck, I love this beer. And so I'll go and get it on tap again because I was like, oh, maybe I just had something wrong with it. Maybe something was in the line, and it's not good. But then I have it in the can, and I'm like, this is fucking incredible. I don't know what the fuck it is.
You tell me.
Not a big fan of coconut, so I will let you know if I do taste coconut.
Shit. Well,
I'm glad you chose a lowrider first then.
Yeah. I know. I should have chosen it second. I thought I was only choosing one, and we're going to not open this one.
Yeah, well, it's good. You ever had a Mounds bar?
Yes,
God, this is what it tastes like. Don't drink it then, dude. Give me your beer.
No. Yeah. I mean, I got to try it.
So the coconut stout from Keto's, it tastes exactly like a Mounds bar.
This does?
Yeah.
Spot tastes on. Like
dark chocolate and coconut.
I'm
going to
hate it.
Good.
I hate Mounds bars.
Try it. Just try it.
If you tell yourself you're going to hate it, you're going to hate it, man.
Oh, that even smells gross, dude. I am not a fan of this beer already. I haven't even tasted it. Yeah, that's a Mounds bar. Oh, it's so much coconut in there. So much coconut, man. I'm just happy there's not a consistency of coconut in that beer. That would make it 100 times
worse. Is that
why
you don't like coconut? Is because of the texture? Because I hate bananas because of the texture.
But you like the flavor of bananas. So you like banana smoothies.
I don't like the flavor, actually. Let's see. All right, Jerome. So that's that. Hope you learned a lot on that.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can sway you your opinion on stouts, not necessarily to drink stouts, but you got an opinion for it. You got, I think, educated.
What do you think?
I got educated for sure. Honestly, the last one we just had, the Rasputin, that was definitely the heaviest one we had. It was definitely a 3 on the X scale.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was a beer you could still like sip on, like a nightcap. Not something that I would buy myself, like I said before. But if I was offered it, like, I don't know, somewhere, I'd drink it.
Yeah.
Oatmeal stout, delicious. That chocolate milk Yoo-Hoo from Salt Flats.
The Lowrider.
Absolutely. Delicious. That was by far the favorite. Coconut, not my favorite. I got to say, Wyatt, I'm sorry, man.
Sorry, man. You don't like
coconut? I did not like it. It's just the coconut flavor. I don't like it. And I don't know if it was the consistency that kind of messes me up with coconut, but coconut flavor.
I'm not offended.
I know.
But I hope we opened your eyes on stouts, at least.
You did. You absolutely did.
Came in not knowing or not appreciating stouts, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's fair to say.
It is.
But now I feel like we helped educate you.
You did. Because of my past, I never wanted to even know about stouts or imperial stouts for sure. Coming on here, you guys tell me what they're like. You know, 1X, 2X, 3X,
yeah.
They kind of help me out with the scale.
Hell yeah, dude.
I would recommend stouts, and especially oatmeal stouts. That was a delicious beer. I really enjoyed that one. And Guinness, obviously.
Well, Jerome, we enjoyed having you here today. Thank you so much for coming.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
If you want to come on another time, let us know.
Nah.
We'd love to blow your mind.
Nah.
All right.
No,
cool.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Not ever. Not ever. You're the first guest to decline that, so you're never coming back, buddy.
I would love to again. It was fun. It was informative, educational.
Perfect.
Coming from a teacher.
Yes. They're a math teacher for all heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
But again, thanks, Wyatt. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Jerome, appreciate it. Till the next beverage, bros.
All right. Thanks, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been David and Wyatt on Taste Test.